X.
But apparently, you had to fight a war to actually claim the land.
I'm not sure.
You said there's like one of those stupid little micro wars everyone just glosses over.
Wasn't the Louisiana Purchase like 1807?
I think so. It might have been Big Jack.
Andrew Jackson,
a Battle of New Orleans.
He fought in New Orleans.
It was the Battle of New Orleans. Gave us access to the land.
Yeah, he fought
bought.
There. Yes.
But yeah, dude, it's pretty sick. It was.
That was 1814.
Yeah. Was that
the Battle of New Orleans?
He had like a couple hundred casualties. The Redcoats had like thousands.
Dude,
let's go. Back then, if you would give me,
because in 1814 we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans and we fought the bloody British in the town of New Orleans. Well, we fired our guns, but the British kept on coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. Fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Damn,
come
dude.
On, dude.
Oh, you're in the alehouse, dude. Just fucking lifting your frosty.
Hurrah!
Hurrah!
Everybody in his party, I'll only do one term. That way, some of you guys that are good, that are getting ready, you can take over. I promise to do one term. When he was running, his opponent's slogan was, "Who is James K. Polk?" Like, people were talking shit. As soon as he got in, oh, this is good. He was a tiny guy. He was 5'8", which was like...
That's really small.
Yeah, he was 5'8", and when he got in, his wife was the one who came up with, they got to play Hail to the Chief every time you come in a room. To give you some respect.
Give him a little, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why that happens.
Nice.
So right away, Polk starts going
but
wild.
But it was kind of a joke. It's like if a midget walked in.
It's
just a little guy.
No, Polk's a beast. Immediately, he starts fucking with the British about Oregon. So they have the Oregon territory out there, which is just beaver hunting. Everybody's, you know, beaver hunting. We're doing a little bit of that in Las Vegas.
What do you mean?
He's trying to get
pussies. About pussies.
Hunting in Oregon for,
they were in Oregon, Oregon pussy hunting. So the British were pussy hunting. The British and Americans were both pussy hunting on the same territory. And Polk was like, "Nah, we're done with that." And he set the latitude and longitude was 54 and 40. So he came out with the slogan 54 and 40 or fight. He was saying that to the British. He was like, "We're gonna fuck
catchy.
You guys up."
True.
So he came out with that. And the British
people were really into
they loved
latitudes
slogans.
And longitudes.
They were.
Then.
So he called that, and the British were afraid to call his bluff. They were just like, "Fine, take
They're
it."
Like that slogan is so good.
Yeah,
like, just take it,
fuck, dude. This guy's nuts.
Dude, you came up with the fucking. You used the longitude and latitude.
So he takes that territory, which is huge, and then it's not just Oregon, it's Washington, all that.
You know how why Oregon is Portland is called Portland?
I bet you I do.
It was kind of, do you?
No, it's not.
It was going to be Boston.
What?
Because these two guys, is it Lewis and Clark? That
yeah.
yeah, yeah.
So one of them is
that
from
was Jefferson.
One
Give
of them is from
that.
Boston, and one of them is from Portland, Maine. And they both wanted to name it after their hometown.
Oh.
And they flipped a coin
huh.
and named it Portland. And there is a Boston in Oregon. Mm. There's a town called Boston, Oregon. Anyway, go on.
So after he gets to Oregon, he's like, "All right, it's time for me to get Texas." Mm-hmm. He starts fucking with the Mexicans. Like, say, they would send troops down just to see if the Mexicans would shoot first. Mm-hmm. Finally, they did. He
fucking
immediately
lazy Mexicans.
Finally, they shot
so
a bunch
many
of
times to get off their fucking frijoles and fire a shot.
So they go to war.
Here they come again. I don't want to fire.
One of them was like
city. I thought like a Starbucks would be like, "No, you have to buy something.
You gotta rush that."
Like, I'm done. No.
I think there's an addendum in the Constitution where like you can fully override a store's be like, you have to be a customer to just be like,
it's giving quarters to soldiers.
True.
It's in there. Also, I learned this, but the reason for that is because they all had diseases. It's not because every time I remember, like, one of the things was like, we don't have to give quarter to soldiers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a law. So
it is a law. We have to give quarter to soldiers?
No, we don't.
What?
We don't. We don't have to. But in those days, you did. Like, the England would be like, "Oh, this army is going to live in this fucking town.
True.
You have to take care of them." But they would all have, like, smallpox and kill the whole town. It's not, for some reason in my mind, I was like, people were probably, like, annoyed. They just had some British dude on their couch.
All got sick. They all got
but
COVID.
It was actually much more serious. It was because an army back then had wild re.
Oh,
they all
dude,
had re.
For sure.
Anyway, sorry.
Also, the guy probably fucked your wife, dude. If you put up a soldier,
he's got
like,
a bayonet.
Yeah,
he
he's got weapons and shit.
You've never even seen red on a piece of clothing ever.
Fuck.
This dude's got a red coat on. It's like, fuck.
I mean, your daughter's, I mean, it's not even a question. Your daughter's true. Definitely going down. The question is he going to take down the missus?
And also, that it's almost any age daughter is fair game back then.
Oh, of course.
I was reading about this one dude. He was like just in his bio, like, well, he was 36 when he married his 15-year-old wife. It's like normal.
Gentleman.
He was a senator. I guess not much has changed.
True.
You know what I mean?
So Madison takes some of the flack because everybody was calling Jefferson a pussy for not fighting England. So he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it.
What?
So America just declares war on England.
He nerd raged.
He nerd raged on England. England immediately marches down and burns Washington, D.C.
Burns it down.
They burnt the White House immediately.
He spaz cried.
But every yeah, he spaz cries. He's like, nobody's going to call me gay. But then everybody always acts like we lost 1812 just because they burned that shitty White House.
Yeah.
So first off, Washington, D.C. was a swamp. It was literally a swamp. It was a shithole. No one lived there. War of 1812, we fucked England up. Fort McHenry, Star Spangled Banner, all that shit. Battle of New Orleans, we smashed them.
Battle of New Orleans was, what's his name?
Jackson.
Jackson.
Yeah.
And Jackson, they were fighting the Battle of New Orleans. The war had been already over for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the war was already settled.
Oh, yeah, they fought it
the treaty was 1815. Was
it was in January of
1815. And he was still fighting.
Yeah.
Well, you get to Jackson, he's fucking
he's
incredible.
He's wild.
Incredible.
Right. So,
first Trump. He was the first Trump.
Yep.
First, so all of a sudden America, that's our first war as a country.
Yeah.
So now America is
well,
not
before
just
that, because England was just taking pot shots. England would just park a ship outside of like, you know, a Baltimore or whatever.
They're
and
so
just start
good.
Heaving fucking fireballs for no reason. Like, you know, where do you know Hudson, New York? It's a town on the Hudson. It has a weird maritime feeling to it. It looks like Nantucket. And that's because it's all people from Nantucket. It used to be this little whaling village in Nantucket. And in the 1810s, the British would just park a ship and just set houses on fire for fucking fun.
What?
So all the people that lived in that town found they founded Hudson. And they would go out and whale in the ocean. And then they'd drag a whale up the Hudson River.
Holy shit.
And they would slaughter it and then send it down the river. It was a great way to send whale meat and oil down to here, New York City.
Yeah.
And that established a hub in New York, an upper New York State. Hudson became a very big, important. And that's where you ever heard of a guy named Legs Diamond? Because Diamond Street was like the first whore street.
It sounded like.
Hudson became a place for farmers to bring their herds and get laid and get, you know, just fuck and gamble.
Damn.
And have their animals slaughtered and brought down here on boats. And then
they
go home.
So they got paid.
Damn.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what was going on. That's how much things like just the English, one English ship lobbing fireballs changes a ton of things.
Yeah, some
and they finally needed it to stop. Yeah.
Resulting in some guy getting head. Like, I'm never going to be able to face me wife.
Me wife.
So.
Okay, so yeah, so now you got.
Now we're kind of unified. That was the first time.
Madison.
The Madison, War of 1812. It was a draw. I mean, they signed a treaty after 2 years.
Nothing changed, though.
Nothing changed.
The English stopped harassing us.
Yeah,
though.
But we declared war. They came over.
Yeah.
We kind of fucked them up, though. I looked at the casualty numbers. It was like double.
That doesn't matter in the historical.
Of course, of course. But everybody always acts like, because they got over here and they all died of disease kind of immediately. Like,
yeah.
They got fucked up.
It was hard to.
And they were like, "This we can't afford to fight this while we're fighting the French. Truce." That brings us to Monroe. Monroe was kind of the man. Monroe was the last founding father to be a president, fought in the Revolutionary War, was at Valley Forge. He came up with the Monroe Doctrine, which is neutrality. Mm-hmm. We got the Americas. Nobody fuck with us. Because they were all worried Europe was going to Spain or Europe was going to come back and take
well,
South
that was
America.
All the source of all our problems was these other fucking European countries being involved in their wars. So he was the first guy to go.
Yeah, we're never going to go get involved in their wars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of what they were saying was that's like the most lasting policies of any of the founding fathers was like American neutrality. Europe, you can have your wars. We're staying the fuck out. Obviously, it lasted 100 years. Very governmental, regimented, you know, in intrusion into the land. The Americans just sent people.
Like, dudes.
Like, literally, we're just like, no forts, no missions, just like people building houses.
Go check that out.
Which, ironically, so the Mexicans invited settlers into Texas
Yeah.
Which, you know, eventually the settlers just took Texas.
Yeah.
But the reason they invited them there was to get a buffer zone between them and the Comanches.
Really?
So originally the Mexicans, which you hear people today be like, the Mexican-American War, it was another act of aggression from America where we took their land. Mm. Those fuckers invited us there so that we could be fed to the Comanche so they would stop fucking with the Mexicans.
Really?
And it ended up that the Americans were kind of rooting tooting.
True. They're slim.
They were like, bro, we'll fucking chill here. What, we get raped and murdered every couple years?
Whatever.
Sick.
Texas fucking rules.
Texas does rule. That's when it became a republic, bro.
Really?
It's fucking sick.
So they actually, so they fought off, they were like, they buffered. And then they probably figured it out. And we're like,
well, yeah,
or
that
they
was,
didn't. Or they were
no,
like,
they figured it out. They figured it out. And well, yeah, they kind of tamed the land a little, and then the Mexicans were like, why don't you give us that land back?
Yeah,
like, why don't you come fucking take it?
True,
that's where that flag's from.
Yeah,
I think. Then the Alamo happened, which was a huge mistake.
Does the Texas flag say it's like fuck off, Mexico?
Yeah, pretty much. Didn't like the French.
He didn't, and Jefferson loved the Revolution, and he had all his friends over there. He spent a lot of his life there.
Yeah. But they started, Americans started being like, fuck England, let's join France in the war. He was the only one with the foresight to be like, we have 40 guys in our military and 3 boats.
Yeah.
Let's shut the fuck up.
It's not.
So he declared neutrality and everybody called him a pussy. Then England started blocking his like fucking ships. I think he might have been the one who said, we're just not going to trade with either of them. So then the American economy just plummeted. England started just saying, if you're not trading with us, we're just going to confiscate your ships, kidnap all the sailors, make them join the British Navy. What? So he was getting punked by England.
You're talking about Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Well, it's interesting because Adams, what ended his presidency was a fake rumor that Jefferson started, that Adams was trying to start a war with and start a Navy and do all this stuff. And it was all fake. But then it ended up kind of haunting Jefferson because the truth about all that ended up fucking him a lot.
Huh.
One thing interesting about Jefferson is because he's so famous for having had a slave and having had like 50,000 slaves or whatever, that not that many. Mm. And having had children with his slave, and I don't think he ever even gave
he
her
didn't
freedom.
Free
didn't free.
He didn't free the kids.
He didn't free
didn't
a couple.
Free
of,
kids,
I think he freed a couple.
Freed two.
Yeah.
And the rest he kept enslaved until he died. And what was interesting about them...
Damn, he did the ultimate because I said so.
Is so like, Dad, can I stop being a slave? He's like, no. Yeah. I said no. They were like white.
Really?
His slave children, the woman that he had kids with, Sally, was like half white. Or like was very light skinned.
Yeah, I think her mother, because her mother was in his family for a long time.
Yes, and his dad was fucking like.
Yes.
I mean, it was like.
What?
She was kind of a product of his father.
I'm not sure about that.
I feel like his presidency was a bit of a fucking letdown for how cool he was.
I mean, he did so Christing much, this guy.
Oh, true. Great. To help the South, he was pretty good.
What did he do?
Well, first of all, some people get on him because he owned one slave.
Oh, man.
Because his father-in-law, his wife's father, hated him because he was an abolitionist. I mean, he wasn't like an active abolitionist.
Sure.
But he was against just for not having a slave. Yeah. Back then, if you didn't have a slave, you were a dick to certain people. So
you were like, put on a mask.
Yeah.
You were that guy. You were like, why do you have slaves?
Yeah.
And they're like, why is this guy making me feel uncomfortable?
Yeah. So he hated him because he had slaves and he didn't want one. So he gave him one as a wedding present, like to spite him.
What a dick.
Yeah. So
Jesus.
So Grant made the guy his partner and they started a little business together, which he then freed the guy and gave him the business.
Yeah.
He would go work
with the slaves. But he'd be out there with them working.
Yeah.
While he was like financially ruined.
Yeah.
He freed his slaves instead of selling them.
But he had one though.
I'm not sure. He might have had one at that point.
That's the story I just told you. Yeah. I think his slave story. I don't think he had a bunch of them.
He had one slave and he freed him instead of selling him.
But his father-in-law.
And he gave him a business that he had started with him.
Yeah, his father-in-law, history fucked him. He was like,
That's right.
Here's
that's right.
Here's
and then he was in
the
army.
Absolutely.
He was in the army and he went, one of his first jobs was outpost near San Francisco. It was in the middle of nowhere. It was in the desert of California. Mm. He was the only one there. And he was a family man. He loved his family.
He missed his bed.
Missed his family so much and he started just getting drunk. And they somebody came to drop the mail and found him passed out drunk. And that was his only experience with alcohol. He was not, he was a very rigidly living guy. And he was thought known as a drunk for the rest of his life.
Really?
There's arguments.
Every time he had a political problem, they'd go, he's drinking.
There's arguments. There's rumors he was fucked up at Shiloh.
Because he sat under a tree in the rain. They found him sitting under a tree in the rain outside of a military hospital.
It also is funny because Shiloh, he woke up on day two of it.
Yeah.
At like the start of day two. Or maybe it was the start of day one when it started. He was late to get there. So everybody was like, he was hammered. But what? If he was hammered, that's very funny. To be like, oh shit, there's a war.
He had won the Civil War. Started really Reconstruction, like started like really, he was in earnest wanting to get opportunities and equity for Black people, equal opportunity for Black people. And then he retired and was in New York. He became a New Yorker. He became a big, big part of this city.
Yeah.
And he had a son named Kermit, who I think his name was Kermit. That was the 1800s.
Yeah.
Sure. So Kermit invested.
What a fucking great name.
Invested his money and all of his father's money with some asshole guy who took it and just left town and just took all of their money, every penny that they had. And so Grant went to visit Vanderbilt, who's outside of the Grand Central Station. There's a great statue of him. I think it was Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Went to the richest man in New York City, who was a hard ass, a guy who didn't care for charity or anything. But he brought the sword that was Lee. Well, he had Robert E. Lee's sword that he surrendered to him. What? He had his Congressional Medal of Honor and the Bible that he took the oath of office in, and he gave them. He said, I want to sell these to you because I have no money. And Vanderbilt said, Jesus Christ, President.
Holy shit.
We're not doing that. He said, I'm going to donate these to the National Museums, and I'll give you like he bought them for the nation.
Did he buy his biography? Isn't that what he?
No. So here's what happened with the biography. It's the best part of his story, and it's actually his greatest legacy. But his autobiography is like the greatest ever written. Yeah. So he met two guys on a train. He'd do anything for money at this point. His wife was very young. He was broke. Two guys after on everything a train. He'd been through. He was broke, and his wife was young, and he was going to leave her destitute. So he met two guys on a train. They're like, why don't you write your autobiography? We'll pay you $1,000. And he was like, done.
What?
Oh, so then about a week later, he meets up with Mark Twain, was like his best friend. Mm. And Mark Twain said, why don't you write your autobiography, your memoirs? And he said, I'm doing that for these guys. And he goes, what are they paying you? And he goes, $1,000. And he's like, dude, what is wrong with you? And he says, give me the book, I'll publish. Because Mark Twain had started his own publishing company because he hated publishers. He said, I'll publish it and I'll help you write it. And he said, I promise those two guys. He's like, did you sign something? He goes, no, but I did. I gave my word.
Fuck.
So Twain, or his real name,
Clemens.
Yeah. Travels to, I think he went to see Sherman. I need to see somebody who trusts, who, he'll listen to. So he went to visit Sherman and said, please get him to do this. So Sherman wrote a telegram to Grant saying, for the love of God, give the book to Clemens.
That's awesome.
So he wrote his autobiography, and the remarkable thing about it that I read was that there's like no adjectives in it. It's like all verbs and nouns. The entire book is verbs and nouns because he just says what happened. It's a very well-written book. And so Clemens turned it into this special edition that you had to order one. You could get any color you wanted. And it was the first blockbuster book in American history. It made like $500,000 in the first month. Meanwhile, he had a goiter that was growing and growing.
Three stogies. You always see him with the stogies?
Died of throat cancer like right as he finished the book.
Whoa.
And then his wife was made for life. Her first check from Twain was like $400,000.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think wasn't he buried here? And his monument.
And he's buried in Grant's tomb in Harlem. And when he died, there was this huge funeral, and it was Northern and Southern soldiers. Southern soldiers were allowed to put back on their Southern uniforms because it was a big thing that his casket was carried by North and South.
It's too bad you can never get away with wearing a Confederate uniform in Harlem these days.
No.
Because that would
get
be a
away
treat.
With.
Yeah, but he was fucking awesome at the when Lee surrendered. He was very like, I mean, it was unconditional surrender. Mm. So he was like, you guys are going to fucking give up. But he was like, keep your guns, go home, start rebuilding. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have fucking destroyed the South.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was very chill. I think Custer stole the fucking sword. He hated
Did
Custer.
He?
I think Custer stole Lee's sword.
Is
Maybe he got
right?
it back. But I think the story was Grant wouldn't accept it or something
he
along those lines.
Wanted him to keep it?
And
yeah, Custer was a bloodthirsty guy.
And then on the parade back into Washington,
yeah.
Grant was obviously out front. Custer fucking rode ahead. And Grant was like, this motherfucker. Custer was
with
the man.
With his blonde hair.
If you look into Custer, he was pretty fucking cool.
I don't know much about him.
He fucked up Jeb Stuart at Gettysburg, which was mm-hmm. pretty cool. Because Jeb was the man. And he rode in. He was with the Michigan Cavalry, and he was like, come on, you Wolverines. And fucking led him into a charge. That's why they're the Michigan Wolverines, damn. All that shit.
So then it's you got cool. Hayes, who undid all of this cool stuff for black people.
It's all
and politically,
very...
just he didn't want to deal with it, so he just did away with it. And then you got fucking, who else? Then it goes...
Garfield.
Then I get bleary.
Yeah, this is like the Gilded Age. Is what it's called. It's all shit.
Yeah.
But this is where shit, like, it goes from we ended slavery to now just right back into just racism.
Really?
Not slavery, but just every law against them.
Subjugation, just like it became the same obsession as before.
Yeah.
But without slavery, it just became all about not letting them vote, keeping them off the
And that goes all the way up until, like, now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like we're just
yesterday. 2018. We figured it out.
We
yesterday.
Figured it out yesterday. Thank God. Yeah. Finally,
today,
Arkansas.
We got a nice little nation.
Yeah, Louisiana cleaned up their act a little.
True.
And Alabama.
My favorite president, just jumping way the fuck ahead, is Nixon. Is my favorite.
Dude, he's awesome.
He's the best. And again, as a character,
yes.
Nixon gave the country one great gift that I wish it was taught. Like the speech that Lincoln has on his monument and the ask not what your country and all that shit. The greatest thing that he did, because it speaks more to what Americans live, is that when Nixon was shamed and destroyed and had to leave office, he had to fucking resign. He had to give, after a couple of, I'm not a crook and this is all bullshit, he had to go and say, well...
All
right. I'm going to go. And
still not a crook, but I'm going to get out of here.
Gerald Ford would take the oath of office at this time in this office. And he left. But before he left, he gave a speech to his staff, to the White House staff, that was impromptu. It was just on his way to the helicopter. And he's copiously crying in the speech. There's video of it that you can see. You have to try to find the whole thing because there's clips that you can find on YouTube. But I actually ordered from C-SPAN a DVD of the whole speech. And they're all bawling, the whole staff, and his family standing behind him. And he just tells them, look, don't – he's encouraging them. He said, this is a tough moment for all of us. He said, first of all, I don't want to discourage young people from being in public service. He was afraid of what would happen. Yes.
He was right.
He said, don't be discouraged from public office. It's a great calling. And he said, and for any mistakes that we made and all the everything that's happened, not one person in this administration gained financially from anything, from being here, left richer than when they got here. He made it, first of all, he defended everybody that was there. And then he just starts reflecting. He reads from Teddy Roosevelt's autobiography, from his diary, when Teddy's wife and mother died at the same night. They both died of cholera or whatever on the same night. He was going from one room to the other.
Oh, yeah.
And they both died. And he was like 21 or something. And he wrote this quote that was like, the light has gone out, and it'll be darkness forever. And he said, so he read it to his staff, and he said, that's how he felt, having lost his wife and his mom. And he went on and had this incredible life. So he's trying to say, don't. So he says, never, don't be discouraged. Never be petty. Don't hate your enemies, because that's when you'd start to destroy yourself. He gets it really introspective about everything that happened without talking about it. And then he says, it's horrible. He goes, they'll never write a book about my mother, but she was a saint.
And, oh, man.
And I think of her, like, one of his brothers had tuberculosis and they had no money. So she moved to Arizona where the air was better. Mm. And she was a nurse, a wet nurse. She nursed other people's babies for money in order that her son could live in Arizona. And he talks about his father, who was a lemon farmer, who had a failing lemon farm. And then he was a switchman on a streetcar. And he just talks about his parents and what they did for him and all that shit. He just cries. Oh, it's fucking beautiful. But it shows you a man at the height of American experience, destroyed from that height, which is the worst thing that can happen to a person, is to get that high and fall. And he just went, here's how this feels. He just told the world, this is how this feels. This is what this looks like.
Yeah.
And here's all I can say. And then he went and then he left. Incredible. I mean, he was one of the most influential people in American history.
Yeah. He ended Vietnam, right?
Yes.
That was already about
done.
He
was fucking Eisenhower's vice president.
There's a guy we know that's a bit of a conspiracy guy, mm-hmm. but he's been pretty correct on everything so far, and he's got a book coming out on Watergate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And about how that was was a little darker than it seemed.
Like, so his opponents. Knew a guy back when I was first living in the city as a comedian. There was a guy named Frank Gannon who had
Gannon.
Frank Gannon wrote speeches for Nixon and was a very close friend of his. And weirdly, he became the guy who books the comedians on Letterman. And when I moved to New York back in 1990 or so, being on Letterman was all anybody wanted. So Gannon was the most important person in comedy at the time. And he was a strange guy who was very serious. And he would just come and he'd watch you. And if he liked you, he'd get Morty to come and maybe you'd be on the show. So he liked me. He never got me on the show, but he liked me. So I went to Letterman's office and met him. And I asked him about Nixon, because Nixon has one big biography called RN that Gannon co-wrote. And he told me that when you get a few drinks in Nixon, he says, the same people that got the Kennedys got me. It's the same,
really?
Same people that got. Yeah, he said it's the same machine.
Whoa.
That took out.
Yeah.
John
that was
and
what
Robert
with Kennedy.
Came after him. He said they just couldn't use bullets anymore because it was getting too. They were
That's
on
exactly
to,
what we said. This is we yeah. said that without
and
him.
Watergate was he said Watergate was something that happened all the time. It was just like and still does. I mean, it's not like oh my goodness.
Yeah,
it's how things are done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a safe with $1 million in it. What president doesn't have a safe with $1 million?
Yeah.
It was
That's Nixon's story. That was Nixon's story. He didn't say it in public,
sure,
because the same as he conceded the presidency to Kennedy, which Kennedy stole. I mean, everyone knows that his father took suitcases of money to delegations and stole the presidency, and Nixon knew it. And he was like, I'm not going to, this is not good for the country to get into it. That's why he resigned instead of standing trial. And that's why he doesn't talk about that. That's the story, you know?
Yeah. That's a good, most interesting president.
Most interesting, I think, to me. Yeah. I mean, Johnson was also a fascinating guy.
Yeah.
Johnson was, and Reagan was kind of an empty headed genius, incredible, knows how to just be. As long as somebody else is in the room, Reagan was brilliant. But I'm not sure he had any thoughts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's people like that.
Yeah. He was like an actor that was like, I guess I'll be a Republican while he was there. And then. Which was pretty admirable at the time, because he was actually no, it wasn't, because that was in the middle of the Red Scare. He was like one of the guys being like, "You're a communist," and he just became the man.
My favorite film of Reagan is Larry King interviewing him after he was shot, and saying, "So what do you feel about this guy?" And he said, "Well, I just pray for him. He's a sick man. He's just, you know, I found out later that he's sick. He's mentally ill. So we add him to our prayers. And we hope him for the best for him. And he says it with this big
smile. Oh, my God.
Like, we're fucking that guy up.